Hi everyone, it's Kim here. I normally don't do this, but I am giving you a short introduction to this conversation today. And before I do that, I want to invite you to Patreon. I started this thing to see if I can get this podcast and some of the other work that I do funded, because this podcast and the resources that I make, all this stuff, it takes a lot of time and a lot of work, and it's hard to keep it going and have it be sustainable without that extra funding. So if you are interested in giving like $5 a month, like a cup of coffee, you can head over to patreon.com/kimbest. I also am very proud of the different names that I gave all the different tiers. So if you want to get a letter of encouragement in the mail, if you want to get an art piece in the mail, if you want coaching, I have all different tier levels for those things. So check it out. And the Patreon members get like early access to things. They get behind the scenes. I have something coming out really soon and they're just gonna get it for free. So I hope you'll join us over there. I'm really hoping to build like a little community, out of all the folks who join there. So check it out. And thanks for always being here, supporting the work, of Not Your Average Music Therapist and all that jazz. So today's conversation is a recording of a workshop and presentation I did at the Mid-Atlantic Region Conference this past year in March. It was up in Niagara Falls, and this conversation particularly was with students and new professionals. And we are talking all about program development, presentations, and what that whole process looks like. And I give a lot of examples of my work and where different steps have taken me. My advice, having been through this for a little while. And I guess that's all I need to do to introduce this conversation. Oh, and at the point where I start recording, the group has just talked amongst themselves about where they would like to propose, like what kind of work they would like to be doing. Do they want to propose a program to a hospital, to a school, to a nursing home? Like, you know, what ideally would they want to do? So here we go. Okay, one more thing before we get into this episode. I have a presentation, like PowerPoint slides, that go along with this workshop that I did, and those are up on my website, on my blog, so feel free to head over there and follow along in the presentation, in the PowerPoint, if that is helpful for you. There's a little extra information, there's pretty colors, some nice key reminders, but just wanted to let you know that that's up there for you. Conversations, and they can continue later on today. And just so you know, your network is starting right here. So the person you're sitting next to might have a relative or a friend who works for the type of organization that you want to propose a program to. So keep that in mind as you meet people, as you network. Everyone can kind of play a part in this story of you creating a new music therapy program. Okay, so I'm going to go through these four different examples. We're going to sit on this slideshow, on this slide, for quite a long time, because I'm going to give you my examples, what it's looked like what went into each of these different things and where I am with all of them. So the first one is a small hospice. I moved to a different state and lived there for a couple years in the Midwest. And I have been working with a private practice I was subcontracting. And then while I was doing that, it was about 6 months after I had moved. And mind you, I didn't know anyone in this entire state. I had no family, no friends nearby, just kind of picked up and moved. But I did meet some music therapists within the first few months of me living there. And about month six, I got a random email out of the blue, and it was this small hospice agency asking for a music therapist. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You're kind of like giving me this gold platter in front of me. And I didn't tell you, but my internship that I went through was hospice down in New York City. So that was my background, and that was what I wanted to do. So they found me. I didn't have to search for them. And then as far as proposing the program, at that point, it was really just negotiating the pay, and then I just started. And then after I left that position, they hired another music therapist. So I'm like, okay, music therapy is continuing at this agency. Like, that is amazing. So that's the first example. The second example is a general hospital. I have a lot of different contacts that I went through with this hospital. So first was, okay, I'll start from the beginning of this story. My husband was bartending at a cider bar, and they had musicians come and play. So he started talking to this guy who's a musician. Turns out this musician was also a hospice chaplain. And he's like, what? My wife is a music therapist in hospice? And so then my husband got me in touch with this guy. We started talking. This guy was also on the board of a new hospice home opening. So he's like, hey, would you like to talk with my board? So I'm like, yes. So then I did a presentation with this board. And then after the presentation, he came up to me and he's like, would you be interested in working at a hospital? And I'm like, yes. So then he got me in touch with his boss at the hospital, who just so happened to be the president of palliative care. Like, it's like this random guy playing in a bar, and now it's like this connection over time. So I give that person a call, the palliative care president. He's like, I propose music therapy. He's like, I would love that. We have no funding. Talk with Child Life. Maybe they have funding. Call Child Life. I'm like, hey, music therapy. And they're like, oh, we want this so bad. We have no funding. But how about you talk with this? Okay, so she said, talk with this guy. He's the volunteer coordinator. And I'm like, oh, no. But then she said, he's also in charge of special programming. So I'm like, okay, we'll see. So I call that guy. And the conversation started as me saying, do you have music therapy in the hospital? And his response was, yeah, we have a player piano in the lobby. And I'm like, so on the phone, I'm like holding all of that back. And I'm like, okay, how can I, just like we do in our sessions, how can I meet this person where they are, recognizing the beauty and the importance of music, and then bring them to where I want them to be, understanding music therapy. So I wasn't like, that's not music therapy. I was like, wow, that must be so nice for people to walk into the hospital and like feel this music. It must be so different from all the other hospitals. And then from there, I was like, so let me tell you about what I do. It looks like this. Here are the benefits. This is what I've seen. This is the feedback. This is the science. This is the research. And then at the end of that conversation, he's like, I will do anything that we can
to have you, to get a program here for music therapy. Like, that's amazing. So I worked with him for a while on creating a program proposal. And what he needed to propose to his boss was literally one double-sided page. And I'm like, how can I possibly put all that is music therapy onto these just one page? But that's what they needed. So we worked through that. It didn't really go anywhere. And then I got back in touch with palliative care. I did a little bit of contracting with the cardiac ICU. We had great stories. We talked with some different higher ups. Didn't really go anywhere. And then randomly through a friend of mine, I met someone who serves on the board of this hospital. So the person who's like, or I guess the board is over, like, the whole hospital, over the CEO, over all the administrators. So I talked with him, and I put together this whole beautiful proposal and presentation. And then they're like, great, we love it. Give us some more information. So then I did this full return on investment, ROI, based on the research and all of the numbers that I could find in our music therapy research, like, how much am I going to cost as the music therapist? And then how much are you going to, like, save because music therapy is lowering the cost of morphine because you don't need to use it as much, or lowering the cost of the hospital stay for a patient, or improving your quality assurance and your patient satisfaction. So I did all the numbers, and then I just didn't go anywhere. And then I got back in touch with the palliative care president. He's like, my boss wants to talk with you. We have funding. We can move. We can do this. I do a presentation. It's like the head heart surgeon or something, and then like the head of oncology, and then oncology and palliative care, their boss. So I'm just like freaking out. I'm a total mess. I'm like, how can I get through this? But I did the presentation. And then they were like, okay, we just need to figure out the details. And then I do everything I can, everything, like setting everything up. And I just, like, don't hear back from them. So this is an example of putting all of my energy and my time and a program proposal, and it still doesn't necessarily turn out the way I want. And I've been working with that hospital to get this going for 5 years now. So when I say that program development is like a long game, that's an example of that. Okay, so the next one is a private elder care facility. This is one that I'm in the middle of right now, and I'm hoping to continue developing it into like a sustainable program. So right now, I say here, it was passed on to me from another music therapist. And so when I started there last year, they gave me 2 hours a week. I'm like, okay, start somewhere. And then my supervisor, my contact, was like, hey, you don't need to do extensive documentation, but just, like, show me what's happening. So really, it's just, like, simple summaries from my sessions. Like, this is what they looked like. This is what I did. This was the outcome. And she thought it was amazing, and I'm like, this is, like, just, it's okay. And then, but she took my very, very simple documentation, took it to her board, and said, hey, music therapy is working. Let's get more hours here. So then now she proposed 6 hours, so now I'm 6 hours a week. So what I'm thinking is as we keep going, and I have this relationship with this site, it can build and build and build. They see more need for music therapy, and then it turns into a program. Okay, and this last one, a large hospice. Very interesting. So when I was doing some contracting at the general hospital, I met a social worker who was, like, my biggest advocate. She always got me in to see patients, and she's like, don't worry, Kim, we're going to get you paid. Just go see people. And we had a great working relationship. And then one day, after like many months of working together, she was like, would you ever want to work in hospice? I'm like, yes. Do you not know me? Yes, I do. And she's like, okay, so she goes, my jaw like totally dropped. She's like, well, my best friend is the administrator of hospice. And I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, would you like to have lunch with her sometime? I'm like, yes, please. And I was a nervous wreck. I love talking with people about music therapy. I love presenting, but I get so nervous today. I'm very nervous too. And there it was like, I could not even get out of bed because I'm like, this makes or breaks my career. But I was able to go. It was literally over lunch. I did not put together a presentation. I just told her my examples and my stories. And then she's like, yeah, this is great. And then she took it to her director. And then her director got in contact with me. And now I'm working with them. So it's like, I didn't have to go through these huge hoops and the ROI and the proposal. It was just a simple conversation over lunch. So all of these stories are here to say that every time you step into program development, it's totally different. Some places might need a very big program proposal. Other places might be ready. So I wanted to say, before you start and do all of the work of developing this like program proposal that looks beautiful, which I'll show you pointers in a little while on that, inquire. See what they actually need, because it might not be as much as you're wanting to give. You can kind of retain some of that energy for yourself. And I think what happens to us music therapists is it's so hard, right? It's so hard being in music therapy and having the energy day in and day out, especially when every single conversation you have is, oh, what's that? Oh, you're a music teacher. Oh, you know, like all those things. So it's like it weighs on you. So you might not have to do all the work that you think you have to do. And it's like we want to control something. So maybe we feel like our control is I will make the best presentation ever, and then they will start a program. And that's just like not how it works. The most important thing, I think, is your network. The people that you know, the people that you meet, the people that you talk with. So if you are going to or need to do a formal program proposal to develop this music therapy program, here are some things that you will need. So I think we always think of this first one, debunk the assumptions. So we want to show everyone what music therapy really is, the science, the research, the evidence, all of our examples, the numbers. But then we forget about these two other things. So we start with the debunking the assumptions. The way that I like to do this in my presentations and proposals is put up a picture of myself with a patient or just a musician with someone else. So like in my picture, it's like an older adult male. And then I ask the audience, I say, if you didn't know that I was a music therapist, is this music therapy? And so you all know, like, well, you can't, how do you know? Like, there's no way to know. That could be, you know, the granddaughter and the grandfather. Like, how do you know it's music therapy? But people think that they already know what music therapy is. So you have to kind of take them down from there and be like, no, actually the player piano in the lobby of the hospital is not music therapy. And so I say, you know, the guitarist you see in the hospital, they might not be a music therapist. You have to see if they're certified and, you know, all that jazz. So that's the first part of your program proposal. And then the second part is point out the problem. So what are the greatest needs of this facility or school or center or hospital? What is the hospital looking at? So think about those quality assurance metrics that they're going through. You could probably find them on their website. You'll think of like patient and family satisfaction. Oftentimes after a hospital stay, for example, they have to fill out like a satisfaction survey. So think about that. Think about the cost of medicine or the cost of a hospital stay or like a need for a student in a school. Maybe his need is to stay in the classroom longer. Oh, music therapy can help with that. So you want to say, this is the problem. This is the highest need. And then music therapy is the solution. And so what does that look like? So in the third part, you can get really, really specific in not only music therapy is the solution, but what does it specifically look like? So this is what we often think of with a program proposal, like the budget and the structure. So are you looking to create just a contract with someone, or are you looking to create a full-time music therapist position? So what is that salary going to be? Are you looking to build it out and create a full department and program that then like builds? So with that hospital that I've been talking with and my very extensive program proposal that has not gone anywhere yet, I put together a 5, 10, and 20-year plan where it was like, okay, start with me as the music therapist for this salary full-time, and then in year 2, hire another music therapist, and then in year 3, another one, and we'll start an internship program. And then on it goes until we have a full department of creative arts therapy and then a creative arts therapy center outside of the hospital for the discharge patients. So you can think of, what do you personally really want to do? What do you want your job to look like? So set up the structure, the cost. So that's not only your salary, but that is the instrument budget. So piano, guitar, percussion, if you need an iPad, if the iPad needs a subscription of something, like all those little things. And then you'll think of what benefits do you want? Do you want them to pay for your conference attendance and your continuing education? Do you want them to pay for new guitar strings or instrument repairs? Do you want them to pay for books or subscriptions to journals online? So those things would all go in the budget, and I would say always aim for, like, the most ideal situation, and then you'll be okay if they go down a little bit. And then lastly, the impact. So once you debunk, you point out the problem, you provide the solution, you want to say, this is what you can expect or can hope to expect from a music therapy program. All of those lowered costs, improving the quality assurance and the patient satisfaction scores, all of that kind of stuff. So that's a program proposal for you. So as we go through this, these are steps that you can take or pieces of the process. Okay, the first thing is network. So take all of the opportunities to create relationships with others. Any of these connections may support your career. So I'll give you a couple examples. I went to this very strange networking event. I don't know how I found it. I think maybe someone emailed me, and it was at some restaurant. I didn't know anyone there, and it happened to be mainly a networking event for, I'm laughing because I'm like, why did I do this? It was for like accountants and tax preparers and investment bankers. And then here I am like, I'm a music therapist. It was so weird. But it was actually really cool because I had the thing in the room that no one else knew about. So everyone wanted to talk with me. And it turned out that this one person I talked with was on the board for a hospital. And I'm like, oh my gosh, get me in touch with the administrators. This other person was on the board for, it was like a long-term care facility. So then he got me in touch with someone there. So you never know where you're going to meet someone or talk with someone. And you talk about music therapy. And then they're like, oh, I know so-and-so. I think they would really like music therapy at their site. So you never know. Gather information. So if you're looking at an agency or an organization, first you want to see, okay, do they have music therapy? Or do they have a history with music therapy? So the hospital that I've been talking with for a very long time, I'm suspecting that one reason this is taking so long is because they had music therapy years and years ago. And I don't know really anything about it, but I'm kind of wondering, was it not the best experience for you? And maybe that's why this is hard to get off the ground and running. So you'll want to know the history of music therapy there. You'll want to know the structure of the organization. Is it private? Is it public? That might be harder or easier depending on what it is. The fiscal year, so when they review the budget. Many people do it January to December, and then a lot of businesses do it July to June. So in my example of the elder care facility, their fiscal year ends in June, so they renew the budget for July, but they have the conversations about it in March. So right now is my time to say, hey, this is the impact music therapy has made. Can you get me more hours? Or do you want to increase music therapy's impact here? So you might want to know that information. And then you'll want to do a little research on what their needs are before you even think about can music therapy help. You want to see what those needs are. And then inquire. Just make contact. Call, email, whatever it is. You can just show up to an event. I forgot my networking. Another example that I have, I was thinking of it because I said show up at an event. One of the best places I found to network and meet with people is at job fairs. And it's like, I'm not necessarily looking for a job, but I'm looking to create something. And so those people at those booths know everyone at their company. So they're like, oh, yeah, I'll get you in touch with the head of this department. Oh, yeah, I'll have you talk with the principal. Like, it's just, it's really cool who you can meet and what conversations you can have. And then find out where they are and what they need. Because that first example, they just needed a conversation then I was in. The hospital, they need like everything under the sun, and I still can't get in. And then the larger hospice, they just needed a conversation over lunch and then some details. And it's like, so I don't want you to go through too much work unless you really, really need to. And then be present, probably the most important part. Be present with the people you are networking with. So the hospital, even though they've kind of dropped the ball and they won't email me back and they're like, we don't have the budget, we don't have the time, every few months I email them again and say, hey, I just want to see how things are going. I know the pandemic has been wild, but how are things and can we have another conversation? So always talk with them, reach back out. And be present in your also creativity, professionalism, and flexibility. Like maybe I was thinking I can do an in-service for your hospice providers, and they're like, no, let's just have lunch. I'm like, okay. So I want you to take just a couple minutes with one or two of your neighbors, and I want to talk about the networking part. So I want you, because this is, I think, the most important part, to think about your entire network, your family, your friends, your professors, your colleagues, maybe the barista that you know at one of your favorite coffee shops. So take a couple minutes, talk about that, and then we'll come back.
Okay, now obviously you are welcome to have a conversation with your neighbor and talk about your network. However, you're probably not sitting next to another music therapist, so it would be quite odd for you to go next door and knock on their door and start talking about music therapy. But this is a great opportunity to start to think about who's in your network, who you'd like to talk with next about music therapy or who you'd like to follow up with. Like I mentioned in this conversation and the presentation, one of the most important pieces is just that presence. So if you've had a conversation with an agency or an administrator, and you haven't heard from them in a while, this is your sign to reach back out if that's something that you want to continue pursuing. So thanks for listening today. Again, hop on Patreon to get some of the behind the scenes and exclusive offers and content and options of beautiful mail, beautiful snail mail. And that's patreon.com/KimBest. Okay, I love you guys. I am hoping to get another episode out in the next week, but we will see how my life and energy and time goes. Okay, have a good one. Talk to you soon.